Welcome to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, presented by Hyundai. Marcellus Wiley here. Coming up, we'll tell you if people are actually underestimating Aaron Rodgers and why the NBA's plan to reopen could have some unintended consequences. Right now, I'm joined by LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks. Today, we're going to start off with Drew Brees once again, who faced backlash like no other this entire week, saying he didn't support NFL players during the kneeling and the national anthem because it disrespected the flag. Tony Dungy has now weighed in, defending Brees and saying we shouldn't be afraid to engage with people who disagree with us. And Brees has put out a video on Instagram apologizing and addressing how he plans to approach these issues moving forward.
I know there's not much that I can say that would make things any better right now, but I just want you to see in my eyes how sorry I am for the comments that I made yesterday. I know that it hurt many people, especially friends, teammates, former teammates, loved ones, people that I care and respect deeply. That was never my intention. I wish I would have laid out what was on my heart in regards to the George Floyd murder, Ahmaud Arbery, the years and years of social injustice, police brutality, and the need for so much reform and change in regards to legislation and so many other things to bring equality to our black communities. I am sorry, and I will do better, and I will be part of the solution, and I am your ally.
Bucky, do you think Brees put an end to the controversy?
I don't know if he necessarily put an end to the controversy, but I think he certainly took steps. I think the big thing with Drew Brees, and when we think about the controversy and what took place, I think in locker rooms, outside of locker rooms, I think we all can respect people who have different opinions than ours. However, we would like to be around or on teams where we at least feel like the people that we're talking to, that we play with, are empathetic to our plight. And so the biggest thing with Drew Brees, when it comes to kind of repairing the fractured relationships that have taken place since he had his comments, man, look, his actions have to match his words. And so, look, if he wants to be an ally or an advocate, like, he just has to walk it like he talks it. I think the one thing that everybody can appreciate, people that who are authentic. If he is authentic in his efforts and his actions going forward, I think it would be fine. I think the one thing that people can respect, he can have a different opinion, but just be empathetic to the plights of others.
Yeah, I appreciate the apology, but the controversy is not over, okay? Apologies are a product of consequence. And the consequences that exist right now are very clear. I'll give you a great quick story. When I was in grade school, we were big time pencil fighters, all right? And when you pencil fight a lot, you need pencils, all right? So when the teacher would be out of the room during lunch break or, you know, had a meeting with the principal or something, we would take pencils out of her desk. Didn't get caught for a long time. And you know what? We weren't apologizing either. We just kept pencil fighting and had enough pencils to do our work. Well, then one day we got caught. Somebody told on us. They snitched. All right. Because of the consequence of being caught, I had to apologize and mean it because I was going to get spanked when I got home by my mom. All right. So my apology came because of the consequence. I look at what Drew Brees is doing right now. I look at what's taking place with the officers in Minnesota. And we're talking about reactive versus proactive. And you got to switch them around, fellas. You got to switch them around. If you are proactively approaching what's taking place, that's the right stance. When you react, there's still going to be controversy.
Unfortunately, the controversy will continue. But Drew Brees, in terms of his apology, was unnecessary. This is how Drew Brees truly felt. And what happened is when he expressed that, it didn't seem empathetic to your point, Bucky, because of the timing. Drew Brees, guilty of bad timing. Drew Brees, guilty of the conflation that we have found ourselves once again in terms of the silent protests and the national anthem. And I understand why we're in that, because the silent protests occurred during the national anthem. And that's why a lot of emotions are tangled up in this same conversation. But Drew, stop apologizing. Tell your truth, because your apologies are not coming off as sincere, as authentic. You've been around black people your entire life, Drew Brees. At least from the age of 7 when you were on a team with black people playing flag football. And you're trying to tell me now, from all those experiences, including experiences with me and others, I played with you for 3 years, that you felt this way, but in 48 hours, you're now ready to be an ally and do a 180? I don't need to hear that. I'm tired of people who want to hear that. We are putting everything on Drew Brees right now in this conversation, in this moment of what's wrong with racial inequality and this conversation and silent protest. Colin Kaepernick is right. Drew Brees is wrong. It's that binary right now. Come on, people. Let's be nuanced about this conversation. And Drew Brees, it's okay to speak your truth. I will suggest to you next time to speak your truth in the proper time, in the proper context, and be direct and concise in it. But apology after apology to continue to dig in to try to make us come to you when you need to just address who you really are in this situation.
It's funny that you say that, because it's so true, Marcellus. People just want authenticity. Like, you are who you are. If you believe in the values of the flag, and because your granddad really, really inspires you, and you hold those things close to your heart, and so when you hear the anthem, it inspires you, well, that's great. The only thing that people are saying, teammates and the like, just respect our opinions and our feelings, too. We may not have the same experiences, so don't dismiss us because we view it differently. If he just does that, then everything is going to be fine. The locker room is full of people who have different opinions, come from different backgrounds and walks of life. And we can respect those who have different circumstances. However, everyone just wants to be respected and have their opinion and voice heard. If he's just willing to do that, man, we can go on. We can move forward without beyond it. We can move beyond it.
Let's keep this theme of proactive versus reactive going here, because listening to what you guys are saying, I just want to expand on that. Drew Brees in 2016 had some very, very stern and declarative words about Cap kneeling for the flag, about not supporting kneeling for the flag, about not disrespecting the flag. Can we go back to 2016 and find apologies from Drew Brees? Multiple apologies, apology after apology after apology. Ooh. See, here's the problem that exists with what's going on, my friends. Here's what's going on, right? Now that these millennials then changed the game on our old tails, we getting out hustled, we getting out smarted, and they're putting all of this content out there that you cannot get away from, okay? So what happened is now, instead of Drew Brees being proactive about what he's talking about in his apology today, he's being proactive about trying to apologize because of the consequences that followed him using the words that got him in this situation to begin with. People are only repenting because they getting caught, all right? So to me, I don't need Drew Brees' apologies. I don't need to look into your eyes and try to see if you are for real. I don't need that. What I need is to see proactive before reactive. You have now proactively tried to go into damage control mode with what's going on with you being at the end of your career. You're talking about timing, Marcellus. He doesn't have an entire career to try to fix this. He's done all this work. Man of the Year, Walter Payton Man of the Year, has donated all this money to all of these great causes, right? But at the end of your career, you have made a movement that has been put out there. You did it in 16. All right, you did it in 16, but now these millennials done caught up to you and they done put you out there in 20, and now you gotta apologize, and now you're proactively trying to save your reputation and your relationships. I mean, just keep it real.
Man, it doesn't get realer than that. I mean, you're talking about virtue signaling on 10. Like, we are at max virtue signaling. Look at him. And Drew Brees, who is a man of high character, I vouch for his character. I'll give a damn what someone says about Drew Brees. The guy, beyond everything I know personally about him, let me give it to you in a way that you can accept it, maybe. Donated over $35 million to different causes, most of them not reflecting who Drew Brees is in terms of his background and his likeness. Black people, Hurricane Katrina victims, COVID-19, like Drew Brees steps outside of his body all the time to support others. But right now, we're going to burn him at the stake. No, you're not. Not on my watch, damn it. This is a big problem, a bigger problem than just Drew Brees. I'm talking to all the athletes, celebs, entertainers who group text me, DM me, text me one thing and then go on social media and hit that 180 and do another thing. You guys better watch this right now carefully of what they're doing to Drew Brees, because they're trying to suppress Drew Brees. They're trying to put Drew Brees so down low like they did with Colin Kaepernick. Everyone always says, no matter how much you support him, he doesn't talk enough. You know why? Because when he tried to come out and make some conversation about it, wop, wop, wop. And I sat there silently for 3 years like, ooh, Cap, you better come because they're going to get you. And they silenced Colin Kaepernick and made him do the work exclusively. Applause. Don't let it happen to Drew Brees and countless others who are just in this for the clicks. If you go on social media, bruh, there are two buttons that just jump out at you. Followers and likes. Man, I ain't give a damn about what people like since I was in grade school. We're the button for the love, respect, character, things that are higher of nature. So, LeVar, when you talk about these millennials, these dudes and these people are the ones that's really warping our reality.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, hey, listen, just very quickly, again, when you have to deal with the harsh realities of what is taking place in our communities, and it takes a millennial to put that on their camera phone and put it up on social media, I don't look to social media for acceptance. I don't look to social media to get apologies. I kind of look for information and to push information out there. So when you're looking at this information that's coming back to us, and these images of what happened in Minnesota, what's happening with these protests around the country, some of the things happening in New York, some of the things happening here in L.A., it's, you can't deny what your eye is telling you. Like, you can deny whatever you want to try to deny, but the reality will still be there after you're done denying it. Okay, that's where we're at in society. That's where the millennials have taken us and have forced us to go with what social media has given us the platform to do. Now people are going to have to proactively start handling issues versus reacting to what they didn't proactively address in the first place.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's one of those things where you just have to be on it. And Marcellus, you're right. Sometimes with the social media world, we do get so consumed by how people view us and perceive us. I think Drew Brees, look, he's done the apology. He's done it again. At some point, he has to put it to bed and move on. You got to live your truth. Look, whatever you authentically feel and view, like, live in it. But the only thing that people want, hey, just won't be dismissive of others' opinions. You do that, everyone can be fine.
Yeah, I just close with the conflicts in civilization, the conflicts and difference in opinions and thoughts and words and actions is how actually those civilizations evolve. Keep that in mind next time you criticize. Coming up, looks like some people are doubting Aaron Rodgers this year. We'll tell you if they're crazy next. Speak for Yourself is presented by Hyundai. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, presented by Hyundai. Marcellus Wiley, LeVar Arrington, and Bucky Brooks all back. Let's talk some NFL, where Pro Football Focus just put out their annual list of the top 50 players in the league, and one big name wasn't on it, Aaron Rodgers. No doubt Rodgers had a drop-off last season, but there were six other quarterbacks who made the list of in front of him, including Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady, Deshaun Watson, and Drew Brees. Bucky, is it crazy to leave Rodgers off this list?
Oh, no, no, no. They got it right. He shouldn't be on that list because based on the way he played, he wasn't one of the top quarterbacks. He wasn't one of the top 50 players. Let's just think about Aaron Rodgers and what he's been able to do. He's been a top five quarterback for most of his career since he's been a starter. Last year, he was near the bottom of the pack when it comes to his completion percentage and passer rating, the lowest that he's put up since 2015. And because this is not a lifetime achievement award and we're doing it based off his merits last year, he shouldn't be on the list. But if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm mad because, look, I don't want Aaron Rodgers to be a snitch, but he should be pointing to the guy that's sitting at number 24, Tom Brady, and saying, if I'm not on this list, Tom Brady shouldn't be on this list too. So if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm snitching because both of us should not be on this list.
I mean, that's my point 100%. If you're going to go with not putting Aaron Rodgers on the list, then you got to look at, you're throwing out stats, Bucky, but I mean, they went 13-3 last year. I mean, they got things on track. They made a run. They made a move. I saw Drew Brees go out early. I saw Tom Brady go out early. Tom Brady left the city altogether that he was playing for, and Drew Brees as well. He's in damage control. Listen, I'm not worried about all of that. Aaron Rodgers should be on this list. If you got Tom Brady on there at 24, Aaron Rodgers should be on there at least at 50 if you're not going to put him on the level of where Tom Brady is today as a player.
Look, it's a shock because of the name, but it's not a shock because of the game. Like, we got to stop looking at the back of the jersey and saying, oh, that influences how I see the game. It shouldn't. They got this one right. In terms of the quarterbacks ahead of him, in terms of what Aaron Rodgers did last year, let's not forget, there was a three-game stretch where Aaron Rodgers threw for an average of 166 yards and two combined touchdowns in three games. If he would have won one of those West Coast California games, they would have had home field in the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers is amazing, but the way that they looked at this and they break down every single play, they got this one right. So coming from a guy who was twice on the top 50 list, you know, I know what I'm looking at when it comes to these situations. Hey, when you own it, you ain't got a problem in the world. When you're not on it, don't be looking at the list. Go in the mirror and check yourself. Let's move on, y'all, to a guy trying to earn some respect this year, Baker Mayfield. After questions about his attitude and focus last season, Baker is now going the extra mile with Browns offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt, my former teammate, saying he's showing great leadership and even jumping into meetings that he's not required to be at. Bucky, you impressed by what Baker's doing?
Yeah, I'm very impressed by what Baker has done the entire offseason. Like, look, it's been less talk, more work. The biggest thing with Baker Mayfield, after being humbled last season by a sophomore slump, I think he realizes the challenges of playing quarterback in the National Football League. He's been quiet. He's been about his business. Alex Van Pelt has talked about, like, getting him back on track when it comes to his footwork. Baker Mayfield has talked about, look, man, we need to be about that action. Let's make sure that we're doing all the right things to earn the right to be one of those top teams that has talked about. And he knows this is a make or break year for Baker Mayfield, because at the end of this year, the Cleveland Browns can make a decision on whether to give him that fifth year option. He now has to make sure that he plays at a high level so he can get that fifth year and eventually get that big contract that he wants.
I'm impressed by it, but it's like that qualifier that you put out there so many times, Marcel. It's like the qualifier shouldn't be, oh, you're a good black dad, as you would say. Like, be a responsible quarterback. If you're going into the meetings that you're not supposed to be there, you're being a leader. Like, you know what I'm not happy about, or what I'm not impressed with this story? Is it being a story? You felt the need to put it out there in media's hands and their attention to be able to coddle and hug and love on Baker Mayfield after the tumultuous sophomore slump. Like, he's in the meetings. Y'all were bad last year. He was part of y'all being bad last year. If he's watching defensive meetings, good. Learn what the defenses are trying to do. If you're watching offensive meetings, you should be in every offensive meeting anyway. So I'm assuming that you're going in on defensive meetings, maybe even special teams meetings. You can contribute in so many different ways when you're a true leader. So to me, to add a qualifier to it, I'm impressed by him doing it, but I'm not impressed by it being a story.
I'm not impressed at all. I damn near threw up when I saw that this was coming across the ticker. Like, we really are reporting now that guys are roaming into other rooms to find out what they're doing. Like, and first of all, my coach, if I struggled and then I got up and was like, all right, coach, I'm about to go to the other team meeting. He's like, hey, bro, where you going?
Sit back down.
You need to stay here and stay late. And refocus, laser right. focus. I don't need you trying to give out this perception of doing extra. I give it to you raw, like my coach said. He said, I never want to see you give me 110%. Because if you do it when you're supposed to do it and you give me 100%, you ain't even going to have the energy to do anything else. So it's almost like you rob from your real work to give the perception that you're doing more work. I'm not a fan of that. Baker Mayfield, you're working with Alex Van Pelt. He's teaching you new footwork. Put your left foot up in the shotgun formation instead of the right foot. It will help you in the West Coast style offense. Those are the things I care about. But how many apples he brought to school that day and passed them around all the different position groups? LeVar, who's supposed to be impressed by that?
That's a good Baker. That's a good Baker, Marcellus.
Come on, man.
Like, that's a good Baker.
Like, we always talk about it's a quarterback-driven league, and we expect the quarterback to be the leader of the team. Well, the one thing that you can do to show leadership is to really be involved, more involved. Be the hardest worker so we can respect you. Look, ultimately, we want our best players to be the hardest workers. What Baker Mayfield is doing, he's trying to make a favorable impression on the new coaching staff, to let them know he's about that business, that he's trying to do everything in his power to make sure that everyone in the team is pulling the boat in the right direction. So I applaud him for displaying some maturity, some leadership ability. Kudos. Kudos to Baker Mayfield for being a true leader. Mm.
Kudos. Kudos to coming out last week talking trash about we don't have nothing else to say. We not talking no more. We going silent. You know what I mean? Browns move in silence. And now you got one of your coaches coddling you a week later. Good luck with that, Cleveland Browns. Good luck with that. I don't even want to talk
about it. I got to balance out what I'm saying because I'm really disgusted, but I must balance it out and see it from Alex's perspective in terms of it does beat the alternative. You're right there, Bucky. Like, he could just be mailing it in, even though we shouldn't be giving a guy too much credit for being on Zoom a little longer during a damn pandemic. Like, it's like, what else he going to be doing? You're supposed to be at the crib if you ain't out there protesting. So, look, I'm not giving you extra credit for that, but I will say this. And we've all kind of hopped into different position meeting rooms. There is unspoken language that you can learn. You can learn what the symphony is playing if you know what someone else is doing. My first years in the league, I learned everything the defensive end had to do. Bruce Smith, whatever you say. Phil Hansen, whatever you say. And then I started to realize I need to know a little bit more what these linebackers and safeties are doing because they're going to influence the play. And there are going to be times where I could just make simple plays. So I like the fact that he is honing his focus in on his game, but also trying to know all the surrounding parts. Hopefully it works for Cleveland and it can get over that hump.
It doesn't have to be a report. It doesn't have to be a report.
It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be a report.
But Baker didn't put the report out to his credit. This is not on Baker. Well, coming up, the NBA is getting ready to return. But does their plan to relaunch have some major issues? Find out next. Speak for Yourself is presented by Hyundai. Though some of our other favorite sports may be on hold, horse racing is still running strong. Live coverage of top-tier races from FS1 and FS2 throughout June. You can enjoy horse racing from top tracks across the country all month long. Visit americasbestracing.net/strong to learn more. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the crib. Marcellus Wiley presented by Hyundai. Now we have two Fox NBA analysts, Rick Bucher and Jim Jackson. Let's head to Orlando. Let's get in this bubble, y'all, which is what the NBA is about to do. Approving a plan yesterday to relaunch the season from the Disney complex in Florida starting at the end of July. The plan's pretty interesting, with 22 teams scheduled to play 88 games over 16 days to finish the regular season. There'll be three courts in use with 4 hours between games. Once the playoffs start, there'll be no delay between series, and the finals is expected to have a game every other day. So, Jim, gonna start with you. What you think? What will be the biggest issue with this plan?
Marcellus, I mean, first of all, I'm happy that the NBA is back. And everybody has to understand the difficulty of trying to navigate through all the scenarios in order to bring the game that we love back. The health issues, the logistics part of it, not only with the players, but also with the individuals of the NBA, individual teams, and people also, the men and women who will be working at the venue. But to me, because it's going to be unconventional this year in regards to what we see in a complex, guys are staying in a hotel for a few months. The families are not there early on with the launch of the NBA, you know, relaunch of the NBA season. To me, the biggest challenge is going to be the mental part, because it's not something that these guys are used to or accustomed the environment to playing in. It's almost like an AAU circuit, getting back to the old days where these guys are not old. I'm old. They're not old, but playing AAU basketball where you were in a venue, every team was there, multiple courts, multiple games going on. And the physical part, I think guys would be ready to play. You have, you know, the 8 games before the actual playoffs start. You have a training camp. You get a chance to get your body back. But it's the mental approach that I think to me is going to be the biggest challenge, because they're not accustomed. This is something out of the ordinary. This is something totally different. And the teams and the players that can get their minds wrapped around what they're about to go through, to me, are the ones that will have the advantage once the actual play starts.
The biggest issue the entire league faces is that they don't know what the biggest issue is going to be that they're going to have to face.
Right. Yeah.
This is all uncertain. To your point, Jim, these guys are now having to play. The players are having to play under circumstances that they haven't played in since AAU. And considering this is now the NBA, I don't even know that it equates to that. The league has to put all this protocol in place, the rules and the regulations. They're making it up on the fly. The NBA, I believe, employs about 800 lawyers, and they do that, and they have done that over the years in order to construct a vehicle and protocol and rules and regulations that everybody follows, and you know what those are. They're having to make it up. What happens if, say, LeBron's wife breaks the protocol for the sheltering in place or the bubble,
right,
or Chris Paul's son does it, or an assistant coach does it, or let's say there's a delay in the games because there's a rainstorm and now the schedule is thrown off. Like, there are so many things that they don't have answers to, that they're going in and flying blind, that ultimately is going to be the issue. Because let's face it, we're all saying, hey, NBA's back. We're getting games. This is playoff basketball. It's like, we expect things to be the same, and there is no way that they are going to be the same. But the media, the fans, everybody from the outside, I guarantee you something's going to go sideways. They're going to have to deal with it on the fly, and not everybody's going to be happy with the way that they deal with it. And as a result, we're going to look at it, and we're going to look at it some kind of a way, because it's not what we're used to when we see NBA playoff basketball.
Say it. My biggest issue is the bubble and when the bubble pops. Not if, when the bubble pops, because it's going to pop. I use my life as an example. My wife is an anesthesiologist, and she also has OCD. So she is quarantining this family. I mean, you can't even touch the front doorknob without Clorox hitting you in the back of the head, because that's how the game goes in the Wiley household. However, my goal every day is to poke holes in her bubble and make her realize nothing's perfect. Why is the nanny still coming, baby? But we're quarantining. She doesn't live here. She goes home and comes back. We're not testing her every day. At least the NBA is saying on record they're going to test every day. But 70% of the people that's going to be in this bubble going to have the opportunity to leave, to go home, because there's the essential workers. And then let's talk about the NBA players who are going to be allowed to go to restaurants, allowed to golf, allowed to have their families there. So as I'm sitting here right now in my pool house, there's a producer, John Heller, right there, breaking the quarantine every day, popping my bubble every day, and putting me at risk. And that's just two of us. You multiply that to the NBA numbers. Jimmy, sounds like a problem, hey, right?
Well, first of all, I want to applaud you for letting everybody know who runs the house or who wears the pants in the house. It's your wife. It's not you. Okay. First of all, I'm going to give you that. Okay. But second of all, it's tough to try to prepare for everything because it's unknown. The only thing you can kind of do is put protocols in place that if events take place that you can react to it, because we don't know what's going to happen. We do know that you want to take every precaution necessary to ensure the health and well-being of not only NBA players, officials from the NBA, the people, men and women who are working, and when the families eventually come. But keep in mind, you got players now who are accustomed to traveling, staying in great hotels and, you know, in and out. Now you're going to be stuck not only at home that you've been stuck, now you're going to a place that's unfamiliar to you and you're stuck. Is it the end of the world? No. It's still a game at the end of the day. And that's what they're going to have to do. It's not going to be perfect. We all know that. There are going to be circumstances, events that pop off that are not in their control. The only thing from a player's perspective that they can control is keeping themselves safe, keeping themselves mentally focused, in order to go out and play and give the best product and give their teams a chance to win. Other than that, you know, they're going to have to rely on the NBPA and also the NBA to put in rules, to institute protocols to ensure the safety, but also ensure the integrity of the NBA, that the product that they put on the floor is something that we can all be proud of and something that we can all enjoy. Again, unconventional, but you know what? 2020, my friend, has been unconventional, and we've all had to figure out ways to weave our way through and make things work. And that's what the NBA has to do.
Yeah, I just did the COVID-19 drive-through test. So there's a part of me that feels less worried about the health issue or the ability to keep their arms around that. Certainly something's going to happen and they're going to have to react to it. But the other part is, this is just going to be weird, man. I mean, no fans in the stands. The courts and multiple games going on at the same time. How's the production from a TV standpoint? I've watched some of the Bundesliga games, and I've watched because I love soccer and I'm interested in the game. But the atmosphere is completely different. And then when you don't have the crowd there, you hear a lot of stuff, and that's another element that the league is going to have to deal with. We're going to hear conversations, or at least I hope we will, that you previously weren't prior, you know, you weren't privy to. And so how are they going to deal with some things that may be said that weren't meant for public consumption? I mean, we're coming from, everybody expects it like we're back, we're going to be the same. One thing I assure you, it's not, be prepared. Come into it thinking we have it back, but this is going to be a different animal in a lot of ways, and we don't even know what kind of animal it's going to be.
Yeah, we're going to be prepared, but what is that distance between perfect and a pandemic problem that is now going to be inside that bubble in terms of all the compromising situations these players are going to be put in? All I want to say is, I moved in terms of watching where the NBA was, because when it shut down, I was sitting there like, whoa. And now I'm so excited for it. But I can't forget, just a couple months ago, they shut the entire league down because of one positive test. Now, the mindset going forward is we're preparing for a positive test, but still going to play. How will you control the elements, the environment, when that inevitable positive test occurs? Well, coming up, Drew Brees wasn't the only quarterback with some questionable quotes this week. We'll tell you what to make of Jake Fromm's Texans scandal. Speak for Yourself is presented by Hyundai. Though some of our favorite sports may be on hold, horse racing is still running strong with live coverage of top-tier races on FS1 and FS2 throughout June. You can enjoy horse racing from top tracks across the country all month long. Visit americasbestracing.net/strong to learn more. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. Marcellus Wiley, LeVar Arrington is back. And now we're joined by my favorite foe, former Pro Bowler Lincoln Kennedy, who used to put those paws on me every single time we faced each other. Let's move to my old stomping grounds in Buffalo, where Bills rookie quarterback Jake Fromm is dealing with some blowback after text messages from back in March 2019 surfaced yesterday. In the text, Fromm says that they should make guns expensive so only elite white people can afford them. The anonymous woman who put out the text says she feels like she has to hold racists accountable in this current climate. And Fromm issued an apology saying, quote, "I'm extremely sorry that I chose to use the words elite white person in a text message conversation. Although I never meant to imply that I am an elite white person, as later stated in the conversation, there's no excuse for that word choice and sentiment. I stand against racism 100%. I promise to commit myself to being part of the solution in this country." All right, Lincoln, did Fromm need to apologize for this, big dog?
The hell yeah. Yes, he did need to apologize. You got to make something clear, bro. You're stepping into the league. He experienced it at Georgia with his teammates, but you're stepping into the league that is predominantly what? Black. And the fact is that he sat there and said that he claims that he is not an elitist or an elite white person. Yes, you did. You put the statement out because you feel that you are. So, yes, he needs to apologize. He needs to try to win over his teammates. And here's the truth of the matter, guys. Coming in as a fifth-round draft choice, really most of his teammates don't even know who the hell he is. He's got to earn their respect to start and by getting out there and playing. And that's going to be a long uphill battle because, look, they've got a young quarterback who they're relying on to take him over the top. He's mainly there as a backup. So, yes, he did need to apologize.
Yeah, for that reason, I'm saying no, he doesn't need to apologize because I quite frankly don't care about his apology, me personally. Again, we're talking about apologies are a product of consequence, right? So he's now apologizing. If he should, like, let's look at this statement. "I'm extremely sorry that I got caught." Oh, okay. Oh, wait. Oh, that's it. Chose to use those words. My bad. Elite white person. Like, what does that even mean? Like, it's almost to me, it almost to me is laughable what it is that he's putting out there in that tweet or in that text. And the person putting them out there, here's why I'm going to say, I don't want your apology. Because we're going to start making dudes like Fromm relevant enough where now a whole movement gets started where people are taking old texts and starting to post them and show them. And I had to expose this person. We already know what's going on. I don't need to be exposed to this and have him apologizing and having them apologize every single time we see something ignorant that's texted or put in tweet or social media form. Like, let's start addressing being proactive towards what's going on with our culture and our society versus trying to be distracted and paying attention to the distractions of someone like Jake Fromm saying elite white people being able to afford guns. Like, scram with that. And miss me with that.
Yeah, miss me with the apology. And if you want to send it, it's just going to land flat. Not because you apologize, it's because what you said in your apology. I'm going to say this to everybody who needs to apologize, including me, probably when I go in the house for something really soon. You have to own it before you disown it. I need to know why you did that. I need you to tell me why you were right before you want to rush mm-hmm. and escape to a place where I'm not going to criticize you, and then you're going to say, oh, I'm so wrong. It's really immature. It's really childish, because that's what kids do. That's what we do. Oh, I'm sorry. But what are you sorry for? And in this apology, Lincoln, when I hear it, I'm like, okay, he's saying that guns are good and elite white people are the only ones should have them, which basically is implying that black people are too violent or irresponsible with gun ownership.
Yeah, you
I
can
at
look
least
at it
hear
that,
that in an apology somewhere. Give it to me, Lincoln.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at it that way, but you can also look at it like this. You know, until, like LeVar said, until you're called out or you make a statement that really shows your character and you talk about owning it, all of that is true. But in the context of being a Buffalo Bill, this is what I'm saying. You better damn sure show that you're changing your thoughts or changing your ways or being a little bit more comfortable around black people or thinking that you're not better than them based on the color of the skin, because you want these guys to protect your life when you're out there on the football field. And that's what I'm referring to from a team's concept. Look, there have been guys that I've played with that I would not have a drink or have dinner with just because I felt strongly about their views and thought that they might not be the type of people I want to bring around my family. But when we don that helmet, we had to be of one like mind, because if he's not successful as a quarterback, we're not successful. So that's why, I mean, he has to apologize to win over his teammates. To hell if he means it or not.
Is there a template floating around on how to respond to getting caught up with racially charged things? Didn't Drew Brees just say, I did not mean those words to hurt in the way that they did? I did not choose those words correctly, but I'm an ally now. But we're in this together now, and I believe in Black Lives Matter and supporting black people. Where's the template? Tweet that out. I'm not interested in the other stuff. I want to see what template these guys are drawing from to give their apologies on what's going on. Because really, to me, that's really all that matters to me. It's not genuine until it's genuine. And we'll know when it's genuine. I don't feel like it's genuine. They're following the script.
Great.
Yeah, shame on her for waiting and group texting all this time, all 2019, most of 2020. Can I get tickets? Hey, how's it going, Jake? All that. And now you're going to out him right now. Like, how you going to clean yourself by making him look dirty? I need to see your responses all that time through the group text. Shame on her. But Jake Fromm found out the realest lesson of all, that the realest conversations in this world are happening on group text, not social media. I think we all got to apologize if all of our group texts got out there. Let's keep it 100 if we really want to go there. Coming up, we'll give you our latest approval ratings for Drew Brees, and Uncle Jimmy weighs in on the controversy. Yes!
Jimbo.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. Marcellus Wiley here, joined by Uncle Jimmy. Uncle Jimmy, Drew Brees just put another video apology up, and his comments about protesting and trying to walk those back. What do you think about all of this controversy surrounding Drew Brees?
Didn't we talk about this yesterday? What did we say?
Brother. Yep.
All right. I said what? I said that this thing was bigger than Drew Brees, right? Drew Brees ain't nothing but a little microcosm in this thing. Don't get this twisted, man. Society forced Drew Brees to apologize, just like we forcing our country to apologize. Only problem is the apology is disingenuous. I mean, it don't mean nothing. How are you apologizing?
Yeah, right.
And we ain't had no dialogue. That means that, you know, you apologizing for something. You don't even know what you're apologizing for. See? Mm. So how are we going to get to the problem unless we're going to talk about it? Here's the fact.
How can you right your wrongs you don't even know? Preach.
Hey, here's the deal. Change is uncomfortable. And right about now, we're going to have some uncomfortable conversations about how we treat each other.
Yeah,
check it out.
Say it, man. The consequences are uncomfortable, so why can't the conversation be? People are living uncomfortably right now. We can't talk uncomfortable. Y'all need to grow up. Leave Drew alone. Leave Cap alone. That's it for us. See you tomorrow.